Good evening, and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. My name is Melinda, and I am pleased to report that my guest this evening is Jen, who is a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and is also the coordinator of the amazing Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And Jen, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Melinda.
Oh, thank you. We're going to get to talk about the fantastic 10th anniversary Golden Gate Bridge Walk that happened just a few days ago.
Yeah, it's fun to get to be a guest on the show.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, so, just wanted to report in and tell folks who weren't at the event. We were joined by about 130 people who were able to be with us in person for a spectacular day.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be fun by kind of starting to report on the participation game that led up to the 10th annual walk this year. We had wanted to do something that would be very participatory and encourage people to be with us in person to mark this big occasion, but also, you know, something that would involve everyone, that in a way that everyone could participate even if they weren't able to join us in person.
Yeah, no matter where they live in the world.
Exactly, yeah. And that's exactly what happened, and it's really, really quite fun. We had set a goal for ourselves of earning 10,000 participation points. As you know, we blew
through that. We overshot a little bit, didn't we?
We overshot, yeah, more than 20,000 points.
Wow.
As a Sangha.
Yeah.
And so that's what's fun about that is it speaks to the energy and enthusiasm and support of the work in Africa, but it also just speaks to how much Sangha is thriving right now and how the energy of practice is just carrying all of us and all of us participating together is really transforming our lives.
Yes, it's very much alive. And I was really taken with the beautiful participation T-shirts that were this year's official Golden Gate Bridge Walk T-shirts.
They are
really, really beautiful.
Aren't they stunning?
Yeah,
I thought so too. And what's fun about that is that we're sending out almost as many as we gave out at the walk itself.
So people who registered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They have something really quite lovely to look forward to. We hadn't thought about black before as a basic T-shirt color, but it sure worked this year.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a fun little story, actually, from the day. We had Jackie come down from Canada. She's a woman. She grew up in Cameroon, and she's a dancer, an African dancer. She's lived in Canada now for many years. And Sherry met her at a conference years ago, and she's quite an extraordinary person, really, really special. She's done retreat work with us, too, so it's one of those situations where she just wants to come and participate and give her time in that way because her life has been transformed by practice.
Mm-hmm.
She loves the work that we do in Zambia, so she came down to dance with us and had given us the name of a drummer, a local drummer who she knew. And so two drummers came, to drum with Jackie as we were dancing. And it was just so much fun. I mean, you were there, too. You could speak to it. But I just felt like it brought such an energy to the day, really added to what we always have there.
Oh, so much so. And the three of them worked together as though they had been working together for years. It was really something to see and hear.
Amazing. Yeah. And I just, what made me think of it was I was speaking with them before they left for the day, and they were just expressing how moved they were by the energy and
mm-hmm.
the participation
mm-hmm.
of the day, and how one of them said to Jackie, "Boy, you had everyone participating, I think. That's not usual that everyone is willing to be up on their feet participating." And then we all just sort of looked at the T-shirt and said, "Oh, how perfect."
Yeah.
that really was the energy of the day, of participation.
Yeah, very much the theme of the day as well as of practice.
Yeah.
And there was one moment that I just will probably always remember when Chrissy Field, where we have the bridge walk ceremonies, it's sort of in a bowl and it has a grass hill just above it. And at some point while Jackie was performing, a wedding party walked up one of the grassy hills and it was the bride and the groom and the attendants. And what Jackie did was, the audience at that point had their backs to the wedding party. She had everybody turn around, and she went forward, and everybody did a dance and song that sort of brought in the wedding party. And they were obviously delighted, and it was just a really special moment that seemed so in keeping with the whole participation theme.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments too. That, and how there they were in their tuxedos and their, you know, very, very fancy dresses and their high heels, and they started to jump and participate in the dance. And it was just
leaving their
so
heels
fun.
Behind.
So, and the weather cooperated beautifully with us when we first got there and we were setting up. It actually started to drizzle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just remember thinking, wow, huh, it's going to rain for a bridge walk. That's never happened. And yet, truly, within about 15 minutes, not only did the rain stop, but the clouds parted, and it was one of the most beautiful days I've ever seen in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. With sailboats right there on the bay, and the walk of the bridge wasn't really cold and windy as it can be. Yeah, it really was as though someone ordered the right weather from the right place.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, in addition, we announced at the end of the day the very fun news that in the Bridgewalk fundraising season, we have raised $95,000 for the work in Africa.
Yeah. And somebody was trying to translate that into Meals for Children, but I don't know if they were actually able to do that, but it's a lot.
Well, I think what we got to is that, so that was the other thing I was going to say, is meanwhile, back in Cantaloma, the project is just thriving. So they are now feeding 800 children. So one of our goals in the last section of the participation game was to get enough people registered for the walk that we could add 150 children to the program, bringing us to 800, and we did it.
Uh-huh.
So there are now 800 children eating every day in Cantaloma.
And that's
Go ahead.
Well, I think that's almost a third of the child population of Cantaloma, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's extraordinary to think about, isn't it? Because I remember when we started and we would talk about we're feeding 25 children, and that just in itself is such a huge impact, because you think each one of those 25 children is a child. You know, that's somebody's child.
Yeah.
Everyone counts. That's 25 families who now have children who are eating. And then, as you say, to realize, wow, there are so many others in Cantaloma who are in need.
Yeah.
And yes, to realize that there are now 800 children who are able to eat every day. It's just, you can barely even really take it in.
And it's not a lot more people pulling that off in terms of the staff, if I understand correctly.
Yep. Yes, that was one of the things we talked to the team about was, okay, can we add another 150 children with the existing resources? Okay, we'll need more plates. We'll need more, you know, of those sorts of things. But can we do it with the pots we have now, with the stoves we have, with the staff we have? And they all said, we can do it.
Wow.
We can do it.
Yeah, it's really something when you imagine the size of the pot and you see in the pictures in the blog the size of the paddles that stirs the enshima that the children eat. And another 150 little people that are going to be able to eat. It's just, wow.
Yeah. And the other fun news coming from Cantaloma is that for people who follow along in the blogs and that sort of thing, they know that last trip when we were there, we made some agreements around some of the income-generating projects that we have going on, the stove company and the sewing cooperative, and to begin to take steps towards sustainability where the cooperative is going to be making income to be able to cover expense of the project. We had set a target of selling a certain amount of sewing product in the local market, so them getting business there in the local Indola area, and selling a certain number of stoves before September 15th, and they met both of those targets.
Oh, my. I hadn't heard that yet. Yeah.
So it's thrilling for them. It's thrilling for me, for us, for everyone who's doing it. It's just such a feel-good thing. I know Teresa's very, very proud of the team there and really excited and asked us to send all, you know, her love and thanks to the team here for the part that we play in that. And it's just such a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. And it, Janet, feels like we could go on talking about this through the evening. But I see that our time is almost up. Is there anything else that you want to make sure people hear about or...
Well, let me think. I think we've pretty much covered the bases. We're going to be sending out an email to the whole Sangha with some of the highlights that I just pointed at.
Good. Yeah.
And we're going back to, we'll be back in Zambia. We leave November 19th, so we'll be back there something like the 21st, 22nd, you know, however long it takes us to get there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, around Thanksgiving, so people should watch the blog for new blogs around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just more news coming out. And the other thing is that Moyunda, who's our reporter over there, is, you know, he's always sending us news. Each week he sends us photos and little updates, little captions of what's going on back there.
Mm-hmm.
And those get posted on the website. So that's always a place to find fresh news of what's going on in Cantalumba.
Yeah, that's great. And do we now have the date that people need to circle for next year's bridge walk so nobody misses out?
Oh, well, we're working on it. It turns out that Fleet Week in San Francisco, which is a big aviation event that they have every year, coincides with when we would normally do it. So we're looking at that, pondering over which direction to move it. But as soon as we know, we will let people know so that they can put the 11th annual on their calendar.
Because if I were hearing all about this year's, I'd really want to make an effort to get to next year's.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, it was really, really amazing.
Yep. Lots of fun.
Yes, so much. Thank you, Jen. I'm really glad
you
were available this evening. And a bow of Deepka Sho for having for the work that you do with the Africa Vulnerable Children Project and that the project does in Cantalumba and that Sangha participates in. It's truly a heart-filling series of events and practices.
Yeah, it's an honor to participate, isn't it?
It is. It truly is.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Melinda.
Thank you. And Michael, if you're there, I think I turn it over to you at this point.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Melinda. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Very, very good. Still glowing from the bridge walk.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
Yeah. What an unbelievably glorious day.
Yes. Yes, it was fabulous. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
On October 21st and 22nd, Creative Power in Life and Art, Finding Your Creative Muse, Exploring Your Creative Path, a retreat with Sherry Huber and Jenny Fox, and that's at Namaste in Felton, California.
Yes.
And then, also on October 22nd, the all-day, one-day, at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks.
Another fun thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. And then the following Saturday, October 29th, guidance day for monthly donors with appointments by phone throughout the day.
Aha. Talk to a monk.
Talk to a monk. And then for the month of November, that's the 1st through the 30th, it's Time to Feel Good, an email class with you, Sherry.
Yes. And for those who think they've already done it, they need to know they haven't. Three tracks this time. Something new for everyone.
Yes, very fun. I'm very excited about it. And then on Saturday, November 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Awareness, It's Not What You Think, a workshop with you, Sherry, in San Diego at Marina Village.
Yes.
I love that title. That is
great. Isn't that good? I love it too. Yeah.
Yes.
It's so practice, isn't it?
Yes. I see the bumper sticker already.
Right.
And then a conscious, compassionate new year. And that's a New Year's retreat with you, Sherry, December 27th through January 1st. That's at Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael, California, in the beautiful hills of Marin County. And it includes daily workshops and meditation, scenic walks, individual guidance with Sherry, yoga, and delicious vegetarian food.
Yes, and all the monks.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on about 5 minutes and one topic, please. And let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Linda from Alabama.
Hey, Linda.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
Yours too.
What's going on?
Let's see what's going on. I always say that I don't really, you know, have a sign. There's not very many people in Alabama that are sort of think the way I do, or I feel like I have a song in Alabama, and so it's like I should call the show, but then I don't ever call. So I'm calling, but I also have a lot of stuff going on in my life right now, and sort of struggling a little bit with some depression that comes and goes. You know, like sometimes I can, sometimes it's fine, I'm fine, and sometimes I'm not, and sort of tonight I'm not. So.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I was going to call or if it would have happened anyway. I don't really know.
After a while, I think we just get to the point of going, well, who knows, right?
Exactly. It's like,
yeah,
what,
we could make
whatever.
Up stuff, and the voices will happily just spend hours, days, weeks making up reasons for things, and then you kind of just say, well, this is what's going on right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems to a lot of times come with fatigue, though. It's like fatigue and pain. Like I'm having some physical pain. I fell down this weekend and hurt my tailbone and my shoulder and stuff like that. And then I'm also like tired. And so it's like I can't just have that. I always get depressed when I get, does that make sense? It's like when I'm around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in When Your Falling Dies, we do this little thing where first there's movement, then there's sensation, there's a thought about it, an emotional reaction to the thought, to the label, and then there's a karmically conditioned behavior that goes with it. And so that we often forget that all of this stuff is tied to sensations in our bodies.
Right.
So when, as you say, when you're in pain, when you're tired, when you feel sick, the sensations start triggering different things than would be triggered if, you know, the sun is shining and you had a great night's sleep and a great meal and there you are and you're up and ready, you know. So,
right, all well.
There's a way in which, you know, we don't want to let the voices make up reasons for things, but also right. just to realize that, when the body is depleted in some way or struggling in some way, then often it's the case that the thoughts and the feelings and the behaviors that are associated with those sensations follow.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I know, it's funny, I just read that part of that book.
Oh, did you? Well, and now you're applying it.
Right.
Applying what you learned.
Right. Yeah, and there's not always thoughts. You know, it's like I guess I kind of always want to find a thought, but what I've been trying to do with the sensations is just let them be for one thing. And then also if I'm trying stuff like recording and listening or which, of course, I don't do as much when I'm tired and hurting, but it's like I did it this morning when I was feeling okay, but I'm not doing it now when I feel bad. But
which is a shame, isn't it? Because
because
when you're feeling bad is when the human really needs support.
Right.
So, yeah. And so maybe to take advantage of an opportunity like that to really talk to that person, you know, I'm sorry that you fell down. what a miserable thing to have happen. And I'm sorry that you hurt. And gosh, what do you need? What would help?
Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's that combination with the other work, the recording and listening, based in choosing, turning our attention to the experience that we want to have. Sometimes people will think that what we're suggesting is denying what's going on.
Right.
But it's not that, because if you acknowledge that there's someone who is injured and who hurts and who's struggling and having a hard time, then the experience that you're choosing to have is loving kindness and compassion for somebody who's having a hard time. So it's
right.
not at all a denial of what's going on. So
right.
The person still hurts, still is depressed, still is struggling in whatever way, and the experience that we're choosing is to be with that person in a loving, compassionate way.
Okay. So it's not like you got to change over to some other thing. It can be that you're being good to that person, to that human.
Precisely, which is what we all want, and which is what we're so trained not to do, not to, to give to ourselves, not to offer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Right, well, so I think you have a different project for this evening, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Good.
To work on.
Good. Yeah,
I can't believe I got on the call right off, too. That's great.
I know. See, the stars are lining up. The gods are with you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah.
You have a good night.
Take care
Bye-bye.
Of yourself. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Dan in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm calling because last time I called was my first time, and afterwards
yes.
I said, I should really commit to calling again. So I committed to call like 4 weeks later, and that was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Anyway, but I made it.
Good.
And I'm going through the same thing that people talk about all the time about, I'm calling with nothing to say, and that's bad, and so forth, and that's where I'm at.
You should have a big spiritual problem to discuss.
I should, or just a big insight that I could show off.
A huge insight, even better.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so instead it's just going along in life, doing awareness practice, seeing what we see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Not nearly good enough for those voices.
And, one thing came up shortly before calling that I thought, well, if I can't think of anything else, I'll use that.
And what was that?
And that was it. I was doing some housework, and when I do housework, sometimes I just am trying to get the housework done, but sometimes I try to treat it as a working meditation and really stay focused on what I'm doing and acknowledge other thoughts that come up and put them aside and this sort of thing. And I realized that while that was going on, there was also somebody who was, trying to be really proud of me for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, and I got to thinking about it, and I pretty quickly saw that there's nothing I do, from center or otherwise, that ego isn't riding along doing it with me, with its own
yes.
take on it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly so.
I guess I had this fantasy that I could escape ego with practice, but it doesn't
right.
really happen that way.
No.
At least not for
no.
me so far.
Yeah, because it's always about a second behind when it's, when it's really working at its best. It's about a second behind observing everything, telling us what things are and what our experience is and how we're doing it. It's the interpreting faculty, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's this is what it feels like. This is what it seems like. This is, mm-hmm.
Yep. And it will tell me that I'm doing whatever I'm doing for it. You're just calling to show off. You're just cleaning the bathroom so your wife will be happy with you. You'll just you're just doing
uh-huh.
it that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm catching on that that's not totally wrong. I mean, it's not totally incorrect.
That's right.
In fact,
yeah.
You know, that ego is riding along and doing that with me for that.
Well,
isn't the only reason I'm doing it or a reason that I need to stop.
That's right. And there's a subtle piece to that it can get us with. So you are, in part, doing that to please your wife.
Right.
You want her to be happy. You want
right.
her to be happy with you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So
there's nothing wrong with that.
Good,
and it's, you know.
The good news is you can just say to that voice, you're right. I'm just doing it to make her happy. I'm just doing it to make me happy. I'm just
I like having clean. I like having a clean bathtub.
Yeah, that's right. Those are all the reasons I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So it was just fun to see that it's sort of like, you know, I always picture things in terms of the Voices cartoons, and somehow I got the image of a motorcycle where I'm on the motorcycle doing practice because that's what I want to do, and then the voices are in the sidecar. Saying,
yes.
"Wow, isn't this great? What we're doing for practice," and
yeah.
and then trying to like suck me into having it, you know, to believing their reason for what's going on. Their
that's right. And then as soon as you do that, as soon as you go with the "Isn't this great?" then you get the "Well, you're just doing this to show off. You're just doing
exactly.
this because people think you're a good Zen student. You're just yeah." It never
yeah.
quits. And it the thing that since you're noticing how it's trailing right along behind you. You know, I think it's great fun to just stop and say, okay, what next? and that's, you know, one of those crashing silences because
yeah.
it only appears to be current because we're not really paying attention to it. But as soon as we say, okay, what next? It has no experience to draw upon. So what I think you'll notice is it'll start trying to take you into the past, into the future, anywhere but where you are, because
mm-hmm.
it has no information about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I clean the bathrooms, mm-hmm. make my wife happy. What shall I do next? Yeah.
Right. That's good.
It's fun to confuse it periodically.
Yeah, and it's funny too. Sticking with my motorcycle thing. You're driving down the freeway. You don't really want your attention on the guys in the sidecar. You want your attention on what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you were to suddenly ask them, okay, now what? You know, they're not going to know which way to steer that
exactly.
motorcycle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't know how to drive the motorcycle. They don't know where it's going. They don't know how to make a choice or a decision. And it's just a tremendous opportunity to reveal them for what they are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you have to be in that place that you're talking about in order to do it. You have to realize that they're trailing along just a second or so behind, using
mm-hmm.
whatever arises for fodder.
Yeah, because actually, I think I know what they'll tell me when I say, okay, now what? What do I do? What they won't know what to do, but they'll tell me what I need to do is go think about it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you know? You
right,
know.
Exactly.
You're the one driving the motorcycle.
That's
What's
right.
Go,
you? You know, you should be
uh-huh.
better for it. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Anyway, this is cool. So,
uh-huh.
so thank you.
Very good. See you soon.
Absolutely. I am very excited.
Good. Me too. Take care. Thanks, Dan.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
So, Sherry, my kids have a question for you. They want to know how you're enjoying the dollhouse.
Well, I'll tell you, so let's give people a little background.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a dollhouse that a doll of a person made, Jeannie, made a beautiful little dollhouse as a donation, right? Gave it to Living Compassion to auction off, and it's a treasure, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
So they couldn't take their eyes off of it the whole time.
Yep. So here you arrived with your two daughters to the bridge walk, and they went to that thing like bees drawn to honey or whatever an image is for
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
That would be
mm-hmm.
wrong. Yeah. Anyway. And so they were the lucky winners. And however, you're in Seattle and the
yeah.
dollhouse, which is very large, actually.
And very fragile.
In San Francisco. And very
yes.
fragile.
Very
extremely.
Fragile.
I will attest to how fragile it is. So I am I'm now out of custody of it.
Yes.
And, yeah, until we can figure out a way to get it to Seattle. So I think one of the things we want to do tonight is to say if anybody is going to Seattle.
Or anywhere near Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said as far south as Portland. If anyone
sure.
is driving and would give a dollhouse a ride, you would be very, very happy.
Well, I would have two little girls who would be beyond
ecstatic.
Thrilled. You know, yeah, we have a potential ride in January, but you know, January to a 9-year-old,
oh,
you might as well say she's getting it when she graduates from high school. I mean, it really doesn't compute.
Yes,
for her.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've done nothing but go online and try to find dolls to fit the house.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So they've been really busy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Hopefully, then we'll find somebody who's driving north.
Right.
And has room for a dollhouse. I said it's quite large. It's not that large. I mean, I
okay.
carry it around the back seat of my car. But anyway, that would
yeah.
be a wonderful gift to two little girls. And
right.
plus, you could get a computer back, probably.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe
yeah,
I could actually get something done.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but, you know, I also wanted to say to everybody there, thank you so much for that bridge walk. That was our first one. It was just beyond wonderful, you know, to be there and to participate and be part of the dancing and that whole thing that Melinda talked about, the wedding party. I mean, that was just so thrilling to be part of the whole thing. So a huge thanks to everybody
yeah.
who put that on
yeah.
and did
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it was extraordinary. So, I mean, I don't know that we've ever had such a build-up to anything as we had for this 10th annual Bridge Walk, and I think it really delivered on everybody's hopes and expectations. So
yeah, it was.
And again, just a tremendous, you know, a lot of people assisted and all of that. But I would say, Jen, first of all, as the person behind it, and then Alex, who just did a tremendous amount of work to make all of that happen. So
right. So yeah.
Many thanks to everybody.
Exactly. And so I guess beyond that, I just wanted, I just came home to, you know, kind of some challenging times. So I'm just kind of, just having a hard time adjusting with all that's going on right now. I've got my mom who has Alzheimer's is living with me. My youngest daughter is going through all sorts of medical things where she's getting a lot of diagnoses that will hopefully help. And we're trying to get meetings with the school and trying to figure out how to help her. So that's going forward. But, boy, on those two fronts, there's just a huge amount of medical appointments and meetings and trying to, you know, get people to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being without my other half that's usually here to, you know, throw all that stuff off of and get some assistance and some support. So I guess I'm just calling for just to touch base and support
mm-hmm.
because it is kind of a tough time right now. And I'm
yeah.
wanting to have some practice around me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And what a really good thing to do. What a really good thing, because again, conditioning would tell us you need to just be quiet, you should be able to handle it, what's the matter with you? You know, if you were the right person, this wouldn't be a problem at all. And that's not true. So when we meet it, that's that image that we use often of the Canada geese, who I bet you're very familiar with. you know, there's the strong rested one is in the front, and everybody else is in a V. And then when that one gets tired of being out in front, they fall back to the back and draft along, getting support and strength to rest up, while others who have been resting take the lead. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
To say what you need and let people know and let people be there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, right now I kind of feel like that lead one that nobody's,
right,
you know, coming in.
Getting a little tired.
Taking the place right now. But, yeah, but I'm noticing a lot of old, you know, voices coming up, old messages that,
mm-hmm.
But I'm noticing them. So,
yes.
the messages of, you know, I can't do this. This is too much. I'm overwhelmed. That kind
yeah.
of thing, which I do notice as a story. And then occasionally I get identified with that and have an even rougher time. Yeah, and then I wake up after a little while and realize that, you know, that is just a story and really I'm okay. I'm just tired.
Yeah, exactly. I'm tired. It's hard. It's a hard time. It's stressful. It's difficult. Yep, all of that
yeah.
is true. And so, of course, the one support that you've got there with you all the time is that little mentor in probably a plastic case, that little recorder.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
That's a source of strength and support and encouragement. And for myself, you know, there's looking to recording and listening for support when things are difficult. You know, I might record something, I might not, but what I do is listen to the old recordings,
mm-hmm.
the recordings that give me a clearer picture of
right.
times in my life that are not this difficult, so that I can remember that it's not always this way, and this is going to pass, and it will be different.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the favorite ones that I have on my recorder is the I guess I can't really say it, but something that I made up at a retreat
uh-huh.
that I put on my recorder that I can listen to.
Yeah.
And it's a creative thing that I did.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
anyway,
and that's the
so
kind of
helpful.
Thing I think that we can turn to when it is just legitimately a difficult time. It is. Oftentimes, life is very hard. And, of course, again, conditioning would have us believe that if we were the right person, life would never be difficult, challenging,
mm-hmm.
hard. We'd just sail right through it and be happy all the time and everything would be fun. And but that's not true.
Yeah, and it feels good to be able to acknowledge, you know, yeah, this is kind of, there is a lot going on.
Yeah.
It is hard. And it is challenging. And
yeah.
no, I can't just sit back and let, you know, let things happen. I've got to be the one that, you know, that does everything.
Yeah.
But that
and
doesn't mean I have to listen to the story that says I can't do it.
That's right. And, in fact, the story you want to listen to is the one that says, and you are doing it.
Yeah,
and
I am.
You're heroic because,
yeah.
Brave is not the same as fearless. And the person who shows up, do what needs to be done when they don't feel like it, when they really don't have the energy for it. That's the person who needs to get lots of medals pinned on and lots of congratulations and kudos and support and care and love and kindness and all of that.
Well, that sure feels good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, in a way, it's what we were talking about with Linda. It's not that we need to change the experience of the person who's having a hard time. It's that we become the kind, compassionate, caring support that that person needs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you so much.
We'll be thinking about you.
Thank you very much, and thanks, Michael, and we'll talk to you another time.
All right.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Sally from Texas.
Sally from Texas, how are you?
great, and it was an awesome bridge walk and a spectacular, amazing experience, and I'm really grateful for it.
Aha. I didn't realize you were Texas.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's fabulous.
And every now and then I hear more and more people calling in from Texas, which just blows my mind, and I get real excited about that.
Yes, there's actually, we have quite a lot of Sangha in Texas.
Isn't that something?
We're moving for a takeover there.
you'll have to come and do a retreat.
Uh-huh. Sounds good. Well, what's going on?
Well, I do have a reason for calling in mind. I have a really hard time with self-discipline and structure in my life. I've got a life where, and this is not a complaint, but there's just a lot of free time, which sounds just brilliant, except I am not good at spending it wisely and am not very skilled at using it and making structure for myself. And, of course, that it leads to a lot of suffering.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And so without, you know, putting you out too much on the spot, what do you do and what ought you to do?
What I do is sleep. I don't mean just go to sleep and not be aware, but I did a lot of sleeping. And I find myself looking back and thinking, gee, I haven't done very much. And I know, and I, of course, it's just your prime opportunity for the voices to explain all the stuff I should have done and should be doing instead of what I am doing. And in the moment, I just find myself succumbing to what I call the voice of no, which is I think my first reaction to anything, well, you can do this. No, it won't be fun, and or no, it won't be useful, or no, it's too big, you can't do that right now, and or you're too tired, or stuff like that. And I don't have a lot of experience when I'm not at work structuring my own environment. And I live by myself. It would be a lot easier, I think, if I were with more people on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know. I was wondering if you had any insights into...
So you do go to work?
Oh, I do go to work, yeah. I have a great job that I love, and I'm at it for long hours, and then I have lots of time off. And it's great in one sense. I get to do a lot of fun things. I'm just not... I'm not good at deciding I'm going to do X, Y, and Z tomorrow and then committing to it and sticking with it.
Okay. Now, here's what I can't quite get a sense of, though. Is
yes.
it a problem except for the voices? I mean, is there somebody who isn't getting to do what she wants to do?
Yeah. Yes. Well, the voices were a big problem, and getting past the beatings and stopping myself, stopping the beatings and stopping myself from listening to the, oh, gosh, I can't believe you did this again, you should have, blah, 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 has been a big help, has been
uh-huh.
great. And I'm not sure how to do the next step of envisioning, okay, well, I want to structure my own time when there's no one there to tell me how to do it. You know, I want to include regular sitting time, regular something, something, something. And I don't know. I guess I just
okay.
kind of feel adrift.
Yeah. Okay. You can see what I was trying to get a sense of, right?
Because okay. Yeah.
If you, you know, you have a job, you work long hours at your job, and
mm-hmm.
You come home and you want to rest, you want to relax, you're tired, you know, that's not necessarily a problem. You know,
oh, no, that's not bad. It's just the resting goes way overboard, I think.
Okay.
I think it goes on too long.
Okay.
And,
all right.
Yeah.
So have you picked up a copy of Making a Change for Good?
Making a Change for Good. No, I haven't.
Okay. Then that's your assignment. Because
okay.
in the back of that book, so it's a book on compassionate self-discipline, which sounds like it's right up your street.
Oh, yeah.
And in the back of that book is a 30-day retreat. And I'll give the plot away, okay? The whole
okay.
point of the thing is to see how conditioning does what it does.
Okay.
So you will pick something that you want to do. So you say you want to sit, which is something you indicated you would like to do regularly. And
yes.
and you would decide that you're going to sit for 10 minutes, 5 days a week, or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's not meant to be a contest. And then you commit to that. And then every evening you have a little check-in. Did you do it? Didn't you do it? What did you see about it? What did the voices say? And the whole process is designed to get you in touch with how conditioning is controlling you, which is what you're
okay.
describing. Right? Conditioning is controlling your behavior. You say, I think I'll, and it says, no, you don't want to do that. You're too tired. So that would be my encouragement.
Great.
And I do know that there are a number of people who have done that 30-day retreat many, 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 many times. And they just simply pick a different something to work on. So maybe next month you want to spend an hour every day doing something that some part of you considers fun. Or you want to cook for yourself, you know, three times a week or whatever it is.
And
just,
if I set a goal and don't do what I, you know, I just look at why or why not.
That's exactly
instead
right.
Instead of...
You start seeing what exactly what the voices are doing to control you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you must let us know how you did.
Okay.
Very good. And you don't need to wait until you've gotten the book and completed the 30-day retreat either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You are so very welcome. Good night. Talk to
good
you
night.
Soon.
Okay. Yes, you
bye-bye.
Will. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sally. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
I tell you that, you know, that kind of thing, I get so inspired by it. It makes me want to get that book out and start doing a 30-day retreat. I just love that place in practice where Sally is working. You know, that just what's going on here. What's, to me, that's the ultimate self-discipline is the and compassionate self-discipline to constantly be in a relationship of exploration about how an incarnation is in life.
How does this all work?
How does it all work? Yeah. Yeah. And not in a I'm focused on conditioning, so my primary relationship is with conditioning, and I'm not aware of life, but that kind of Sherlock Holmes approach to awareness practice. You know, what are the clues here, and how does that work? How does that happen, and what's wrong with that, and what's behind that? So interesting.
Yeah, fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk often about sports metaphors, and I think about professional athletes, you know, a tennis player or a basketball player, and, you know, why do I always miss that forehand? You know, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and really getting into more and more detail and more subtlety.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing it, for the thrill of seeing it. And as we go along in that vein, we begin to lose interest in anything being different. You know, I just want to see how it works. We start out with, I need to see how it works so that I can be different, right? There's something wrong with it and I need to fix it. After a while, it's just, nope, I just want to see how it works.
Yes.
So we want to take on bigger and bigger and bigger challenges, more and more complex issues, because I want to see how it works.
Yes. Exactly. Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in San Francisco.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hello.
Did you have a good bridge walk, too?
Yes. Yeah, I love
it. Kind of a bridge walk reunion tonight.
I know. The weather was just incredible, and we saw dolphins in the water.
Stunning. I'm sure it's been that beautiful before. I don't remember it. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was really, and I felt grateful. I just had all conditioning just, it brought up some issues that made it so obvious it was conditioning, so that was good. See it.
you love it when it's not subtle, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I've just been, practicing like my hair's on fire all tonight. I had something else planned, but I'm just taking apart, the last thing you just said really hit home. I realized that I was doing this because I need to see how it works so I could be different. I mean, that's what was the urgency, like, oh, I need to stop being this way, and reacting, having this reaction. It was just the process is someone suggest something to me, like I have something I really care about, and then someone else wants to do that with me, but I'm not sure they're the person that I'm, like, maybe I want them as a helper, but not as the main person, and then this little one just freaks out, like, she's going to get run over by the other person and not get what her heart desires.
And there's not a, there hasn't been a skillful way of taking care of her.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just kind of was doing an exercise of looking at the identities, you know, who was coming up. And so I was just writing that down while I was waiting. But yeah, I kept, you know, it was a situation where it just got so real. You know, and I had to tell myself this doesn't have to do with the other person. Like, afterwards, it was like, it doesn't have to do with them. Just come back to, you know, that was helpful to just come back to myself.
Yeah, and so with the specifics of a situation like you're describing, so there's a part of you who wants to do something, and she wants to do it. Then what we're taught, most of us, that she needs to share. She needs to be agreeable. She needs to be open to other people. She needs to be accommodating, right? Especially she's get this conditioning. And so that works for a while, to whatever degree it works. And then it doesn't. And so this really requires you to attend to her. Right? Without that reaction, she would just get, you know, shoved to the back of the line over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. So to really spend time with her and find out what she wants and make sure that we get her what she wants, so that when this, I think that the challenges this project has young parts, and it has a, it's bigger than the young parts though. And so I think I need to attend to these young parts while I'm doing it, or they get caught in it.
Yes, exactly. And if their needs are met in appropriate ways, they don't come out in inappropriate ways.
Oh, okay. And that would be, you know, like two chair exercise and asking her, you know, what she wants and spending time with her.
Yep. And really spending time with her, doing what she wants to do.
Okay.
Yeah, because that gives you access to a part of you that would otherwise be cut off.
Okay.
Yeah, because she is you.
Yeah.
So, as I'm sure you know, when we're growing up, you know, there's a young part of you, and she's not acceptable to mom, to dad, to teacher, to whatever, and so you learn not to let her come out. And we don't think about it this way, but it is what goes on. You repress her. And you become a way that is more acceptable, that gets you what you want or need. And that process just keeps going on with parts of you being cut off and left behind in order to please other people. So this process that you're and of course, we're unhappy. You know, people get angry and resentful and grumpy and all sorts of ways, and then self-hate comes after us for being those ways. So first of all, you can't be how you are, and then you get beaten up for not being happy about the fact that you don't get to be who you are. So in the process that you're looking at now, you're getting to reclaim those parts of you, because there never was anything wrong with them. There never was anything wrong with you. It's just that people were conditioned to believe this had to be this way and that had to be that way and people should be this way. And right. So now they're still there. alive and well, and now that you're, I would project that you're more open than you were previously, and the more open you become, the more it happens that there's space for these aspects of you to come forth.
Yeah,
and you get to reclaim yourself.
Yeah. That's great. I know we only have 6 minutes, so if I go, you might be able to get one more caller in. So.
Well, you're a very kind, generous, and thoughty person. Call again before long, though, okay?
Okay, I will. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we do have another caller.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Jen from Rhinebeck, New York.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing
good.
Very well.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I wanted to check in about the bridge walk this weekend. I did my own little version of the bridge walk on the East Coast. Not far from me is the longest pedestrian-only bridge in the world, in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Where is it?
It's in Poughkeepsie, is the name of the town, which is about 90 miles north of New York City. It was an interesting challenge for myself because I wanted to do a fundraiser, and, money is a place where, like many people, I have a lot of discomfort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I came up with this sort of strategy. I was calling it my 5 for 5 campaign, where I was asking people to contribute $5 and I would walk 5 miles. And I did that because I work with a lot of folks who don't make a lot of money. A lot of them volunteer, and I thought, okay, this is a way that people might be able to contribute. But I found that I had real trouble, putting it out there that I was doing this and, asking for money. I was coming from the perspective of, it was like I was ashamed to be asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to me because the people were, I had the opposite experience. That was what I was projecting at the beginning, but then I ended up having the opposite experience, and the experience was that people were so thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to give.
Yeah.
That I realized it actually wasn't about me at all. I was just simply, creating an opportunity, and especially for, sort of this topic of helping in Africa, everyone knows there's such need in so many places in Africa, but it feels so far removed from everyone that for them to be able to talk to me, and I'll say, yes, I know the people that have been there, and know exactly what's happening, and people were just so relieved to be able to give their money to somewhere that somebody they trusted was vouching for as well.
Yeah.
So it was just it completely turned everything on its head for me, which was really fun.
I love that.
So,
love that.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting projection exercise, isn't it? Because I would project for you. I know for myself, if somebody that I care about cares about something, and they ask me to support that, I'm excited. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I feel honored and privileged, and I'm so glad they asked. And then I turn around to ask and go, oh, well, they're not going to want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, why would they be that different from me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's great to have such a clear, concrete experience of it.
Yeah. And to see that all my reticence about asking was all this, leftover embarrassment from when I was a child and how my parents sort of feel like people should help take care of them, and when they needed things they would ask for money from relatives, and I would always be embarrassed about that, and just sort of see all those connections. It's like, wow, and this is like a fundraiser, on it first.
This is some serious practice.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was great because on Saturday I had a handful of folks walk with me despite the fact that it was really yucky weather here. And so that, too, was really great, you know, because I did it as a silent walk, and which was just fantastic. You know, the first step I took, I just was, like, instantly back at the monastery, you know, just in that privileged environment. And it just felt so special, and I felt so able to, it was like I'd given myself permission to just focus on gratitude and, you know, just be in that space of generosity and gratitude for, you know, the 5 miles of walking.
So, yeah. Well, do you think you'll do it again?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I would love it if it were on a different day than the walk out here. Like or something, because I would love to join you for it.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yes. Yes. No, we would love to make that happen too. So
to have an East Coast and a West Coast and
perfect. Yeah. Mm. That would be great. Yeah. Jen and I have already planned to talk about expanding it in the next month or two, start the conversation. So yeah, great.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Great. I am so pleased.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, and I way exceeded my goal, much like the participation points. I'm closing in on $800 I raised. I know, and it's still coming. It's still coming in. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I just love it when life just proves us so wrong.
Exactly.
And just gives us a little snapshot of goodness and kindness and love and compassion that is just the voices just can't talk us out of.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, good.
Well,
all right. Well, I need to go call my reflective listening buddy.
Oh,
she's listening. I'll be there in a second.
big practice night here.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, thanks for calling us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You've been listening to Open Air. And what a great way to end the show, Sherry.
Oh, my gosh. It just kind of goosebumps and heart open and life is good.
Life is good. It's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.